Good morning. It's so good to be with you this morning. I'm so glad that you came out to church to worship with us. Today is a doubleheader in the church world because we are celebrating the two ordinances that identify us with Jesus Christ and with the church. There are only two ordinances that Jesus specifically said, continue to do this in remembrance of me. And they are baptism and communion, the Lord's Supper. Today we are celebrating the baptisms of three of our younger people. We have a high school student, a college student, and a graduate student. Callie Grupa, Justin Leonhardt, and Wiss Valdez. I had a different name stuck in my head and I wanted to not say it wrong. At sports events, we get excited. How many of you like to root on a favorite team of some kind? Raise your hand if you have a team of any sport. Hockey fans? Let's hear it. Hockey fans, you're rowdy. Let's hear it. It's hard to be a hockey fan in Buffalo right now. Baseball fans? Any? Football fans? Yeah, there we go. That's where the real cheers come from. Today, you can be the Bills Mafia. You can be the Yankee Bleacher Creatures. I don't know if the Sabres fans have a certain name, but I want you excited about what's going on today because this is an exciting day in not only our church life, but in the life of each of these people. They're taking a step of faith. They're publicly proclaiming that they are followers of Jesus Christ, not only to you, family and friends, but to the world. This is being broadcast online, so anyone can see this. And we have folks throughout different parts of the country, and occasionally I see people in different parts of the world watching our Sunday morning services. So there's no turning back. They are putting on the team jacket. They're letting everybody know that they are followers of Jesus Christ, and they're identifying as part of the worldwide church. I hope that as they come up out of the water, as each of them are baptized, that you would be willing to cheer. You can shout an amen, depending on how far south you grew up. Either way, we can cheer for them. No yeehaws. But you can amen, you can cheer, you can clap. We want them to know how excited you are for them. They're putting a stake in the ground, and they're not turning back. Baptism is clearly shown in Scripture as a way to tell the world that you're a Christian. And it's not the way that you are saved. Baptism is not a way that God says, oh, now that you've done this, you're good enough for me. Scripture tells us that our salvation is by grace alone, by faith alone. There's nothing we can do to make up for our sins. There's nothing we can do that would make God say, oh, now you've done enough. Now your pile of good things is good enough to make it to heaven. God makes it so clear that we are saved because of what he did, what Jesus did on the cross, dying for our sins. It's a symbol. It's an act of obedience. Jesus was baptized by his cousin, John, and that was in preparation for people to say, we want to get right with God because the Messiah is here. And then Jesus himself was baptized. Did he need to be closer to God? He came from God. He was God. He is God. But he said, I'm going to do this as well, and you do this. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. And as people are saved, baptize them, disciple them, teach them that they would obey all things that I have shared with you. Baptism also illustrates unity with Jesus Christ. Just as he died on the cross for our sins, he was buried and laid in a tomb, and then he arose. So you're going to see each of these people standing before you, and they're going to say, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Because of him, I live. And then as they're lowered into the waters, it's a picture of their death to sin, their death to their old life, and rising up out of the water alive again. Jesus said, when we are in him, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Each of these people have already done that. They already have new life in Jesus. But this is symbolizing it for all of you and for them to just have this day to remember that they showed the world that they are followers of Jesus. Romans 6:4 says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And then over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith, the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the power that every believer has to walk away from sin and say, I want to live a new life. I want to live for him. Baptism illustrates unity with Jesus in that way. And baptism also illustrates unity with the church, all of you, the church body, everyone who joins our church and many other churches. This is a step of faith. We believe that members of the church should already be followers of Jesus Christ. They've taken this step to be baptized, to show the world that they're believers, and then they join the church, and they say, I want to be part of a local body. I want to be part of this family. I want to encourage you, and I want you to encourage me. We're accountable to each other, and we help each other. Jesus said so clearly, this is not something you're doing alone. You're part of the body of Christ. Every part of the body needs each other, and together we are one. We have examples from the New Testament. There's always salvation, then baptism. Salvation, then baptism. In Acts 2, when the church first gathered together, Peter preached the gospel. Thousands were saved. And it says, those who received his word, they were saved, were then baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. That was an exciting church morning. They believed, they were baptized, and they were added to the church. My last passage for you this morning, just to be thinking about what God's word is saying, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 5. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. This one baptism is the thing that unites us as believers. So we're going to go alphabetically this morning. We're going to start with Callie Grupa. She's going to come on down, and then we're going to hear her testimony, which we pre-recorded. Hey, everybody, this is Callie. And we're going to hear her testimony.
Hey there, my name is Callie Grupa, and I am 15 years old, and today I'm being baptized. So here is my testimony. When I was little, my sister and I would always go to my grandparents' house while my parents were at work. Every night, my grandma would read us Bible stories. They would often talk about how Jesus wanted me in heaven with him, and how he loved me, and how he died for my sins. When I was 5 years old, I asked my grandma about heaven, and she explained salvation to me and helped me ask Jesus into my heart. I understand baptism is an outward showing of what's inside, and that's what I want. Thank you.
Amen. Come stand on this side. Okay. Callie Grupa, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
And is it your desire to be baptized this morning to show that testimony?
Yes.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Good job. Amen. Next, we have Justin Leonhardt, who's been playing bass for us this past year. We've really enjoyed his addition to our morning worship. We have narrow hallways back here, so. Hey, everybody, this is Justin. You've probably not seen him without his mask, but this is what he looks like. He's going to share his testimony with you.
My name is Justin Lenhart. I'm a graduate student here at SUNY Fredonia, and I'm also a musician for First Baptist Church. I actually used to attend a Baptist church when I was younger with my family. And I can remember asking my dad repeatedly, when am I going to be baptized? I see other people doing it, and it just feels like the right thing to do. And my dad would always have the same response, that when I could come up with an answer that was convicting and could justify why I should be baptized, then they would sign me up for it. And I just couldn't come up with the answer back then. And I think 10 years or more later, I finally come up with that answer. You know, I felt like I've always come close enough to God. It's always been a part of me. My faith has been a part of me. It's never been a question of whether I believe in Christ. You know, most of my family is Christians, and it just always felt like I was coming close enough, but something was always missing. And I think that missing piece of the puzzle was finally found about a year ago. But throughout college, I was involved in men's groups, I attended Bible studies, I even played in another worship team for over 2 years. So it really was never a question if I had faith in God, but still, there was always something tugging at me that the process was not complete. So about a year ago, right when the pandemic had just started, I remember going to the grocery store like many other people, just buying up all the canned goods and meat, and I just remember feeling scared and just where the world was going. And I ran into Dr. Mark Guy, who is our keyboard player and lead singer for First Baptist as well, but he's also my mentor. He was my mentor first. And I ran into him at the store, and I just said something like, Dr. Guy, I don't know where the world is headed. I don't know if this is it. And if it is, I don't know where I'm going. I really don't know if I've sealed the deal with my faith. So we set up a meeting to just read some scripture. And when we got together after that, Dr. Guy sort of assessed where my faith was at. Because even he could see that it was there, but just not 100% there. And so he took me through the process of being born again. And I can honestly say that I have felt different since that day. I feel like I've made that 100% commitment. I have accepted the gift of faith. I truly acknowledge that Jesus Christ died for my sins and the world's sins. But to make it something personal was what was missing, and to truly understand what had happened on the cross that day. And Dr. Guy had seen my cross on me that day. I have it under my shirt right now, too. And so it was clear that there was commitment, but all along I knew I was just coming close enough to God. Going to Bible studies, playing in church, even going to church on Sundays, you are coming close enough to God, but God doesn't want close enough. God wants relentless love. He wants undying faith and commitment to his promise. And I know that that's what I want for myself too. And so being born again felt like the work had been done. And now I feel that the baptism, it's just a public declaration of my faith. And I hope that this video also inspires others to do the same. If you also feel like you're coming close enough to God, if you feel that sensation that something is just missing, and I hope that someone like Dr. Guy comes into your life, or God just leads you to finally seal the deal and make the full commitments. So, thank you for your time today.
Amen.
I hope this will be loud enough. I'd just like to dedicate one of my first memory verses, one of the first pieces of scripture that I've memorized, thanks to Dr. Mark Guy sitting right here in front of me. Let's hope I get this right. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Amen. I wasn't sure how that was going to work, but fortunately it fell off my ear, so we didn't have to get awkward. Justin Leonhardt, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
I have.
And is it your desire to publicly proclaim that today through baptism?
It is.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Praise God. I hope this is waterproof because I have to keep touching it. Next, we have Wiss Valdez. This is Wiss, everybody. Wiss is also a SUNY Fredonia student and has been with us this past year, and it's been exciting to just hear how her faith is growing and her knowledge of the Word, so I'm going to let her talk because she does it better.
Hi, my name is Isai Valdez. People usually just call me Wiss because it's easy to say, and this is my testimony of becoming a born-again Christian. So all my life, I grew up Roman Catholic, and I came from a family of devout Roman Catholics. And I always knew the importance of Jesus and God and the Trinity and all that. But I was taught that you always have to work your way to God. And I thought I had to do a lot of certain things to get to God. And that always made me feel distant to Him. Though I always did say, oh yeah, I'm Christian, I believe in God. And whenever someone questions my faith, I would always try to defend it. But I never really involved God to my day-to-day life. And this caused me to have a lot of mental problems at an early age in my life. Like, I had early signs of OCD, general anxiety disorder. I would constantly have panic attacks daily, and my parents always wondered what was wrong with me constantly. And, I would always worry that if I don't wash my hands a certain amount of times, I would get a disease and die. Or if I don't say a certain thing in my head a bunch of times, my parents would die in a car crash when they came home in some way. And that was just my life from childhood since, I guess, high school. And this caused me to, instead of finding comfort in the Lord Jesus, I try to find comfort in the world. And I would do a lot of sinful things. Like, I would draw a lot of sinful things because people liked it when I drew that. And that caused me to like it a lot too. And I would want to drink in an early age, like around high school, I would try to drink because I thought that was cool. I would want to go to parties constantly. I would wear inappropriate clothing, revealing clothing, so people would give me attention. I would do a lot of stupid things to get attention. And I would believe in zodiacs because I thought that would give me some sense of control in my life. And also listen to a lot of philosophy videos because I thought maybe if I listened to them, this could lead me to peace in my life. But I remember around 2 to 3 years ago, I was watching this one philosophy video. And this led me to think, if all these philosophers see morals as subjective, what's stopping me from becoming an evil person? Because if there is no morals, then what's causing people to not become evil? And that just really stuck with me. And it led me to like worry that what if I lose my morals? What if I become an evil person? And that ultimately led to, is there a God? Because if morals are subjective, And if God is supposedly supposed to be the creator of morals, and if there is no morals, then does that mean there's no God? And that just left me for a loop. I was like fearful. I was worrying, like, what if there is no God this whole time? And that just caused me to have such a severe panic attack. But then all of a sudden, I just decided to look up sermons and why people became Christian and how they became Christian. And I remember this one preacher who was talking about his testimony. And when he was done, he just looked into the camera and he said, if you want to accept Jesus today, say this prayer with me. And I remember I got on my knees so quickly. I was like, oh. And I was just praying my heart out this prayer. I was like, Lord, please save me. I need your help. And after that, I was done with that prayer. I just got up sadly. I was just like, oh, well, I don't know what to do anymore. And I remember I just laid in my bed. And right when I turned off the lights and just laid in my bed, it's a shock. It's a complete, this was not a feeling I ever had in my life. And there was a shock of peace. Oh my gosh, I never felt something like that in my whole life. And I was just in tears. I was crying so hard. Like, all my worries gone. And I was just like, Jesus, is that you? And I was just like, so shaken up because it was just a powerful feeling. Like, oh my gosh, amen. Like, it's so crazy. And I remember I ran to my parents. I was like, Mom, Dad, it was the Lord. Like, the Lord came to me. And they're like, yeah, of course, because they think they're in the right religion and stuff like that. And after that day, I started watching more sermons. And but I never really truly knew if it was the Lord, because I still thought that in some way humanity can save me from my worries in general. So I remember I told my parents that I would like to have a therapist. And I remember when one day when I was in my therapy session, my therapist was like, okay, here's how we're going to save all your problems. Like, how are we going to get rid of them? And I was like, yes, finally, I can finally get rid of all this anxiety I had for all my life. And then she just came to me and just said, so just relax and breathe. And that's when I realized I could not put my faith in humanity anymore. I was like, that's it? That's all you have for me? Wow. And that just caused me to worry more. Like, if I can't put my faith in people who say they can help me, who can actually help me? I still haven't processed that it was the Lord who helped me that one time. So I remember going to college for my first semester, and I was just having this thing in my head on loop constantly. I was like, what to do? What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And I just remember I started having another breakdown because I was like, oh God, are you real? I'm so nervous. And it got so bad that I became a shell. Like, I was not living anymore. I was just shaking constantly. My friend had to wake me up constantly to feed me because I would not get out of my bed. I was just shaking constantly. I would not talk. I would not look people in the eye. I would not even walk straight. I was always trembling. And just daily life just stuck in my head. And I remember they had to take me to the hospital because it was getting too bad, to dangerous levels. And I remember sitting on the hospital bed, the doctor came in and he just said, I know, we know you're not sick, so what's the problem? And I told him everything. I told him my worries, told him my doubting faith and stuff like that. And he just said like this one quote that really stuck with me. He just said, Christ did not carry his cross alone. And I was just like, and I just pondered that for so long when my friend was taking me back home, back to our dorms. And after 3 days of just hardcore praying for the Lord, all that fear gone. I was conscious again. I had the same mind again. I was like, wait, what happened? Like, I tried to make myself worry again, but it just would not come. And that's when I realized it was the Lord. It was Jesus. I always had to put my faith in Jesus that whole time. I always had to give him my worries that whole time. And that's when I realized it's only through the Lord, like, who can save me. And then I started reading my Bible more and realized that it was through faith that we are saved, not through works. So all this time, I thought I had to work my way up to God, but I just realized God came to me, and all I had to do was just believe in him and trust him as my Lord and Savior, Jesus. And I was just like, wow, that's so uplifting and just so beautiful. And now I'm a born-again Christian.
Amen. Wiss, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And did you ask him to forgive your sins?
Yes.
Is it your intention today to show everyone, declare your faith in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Are you excited about that?
Yeah.
Amen. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is so great to see how God works through His Spirit to draw people, through other believers, through families, through grandmas, just how He follows us with His relentless love. And if you didn't hear that today, how much He loves you, you missed it. Because each one of these people told you that their lives are different now because of Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that you don't walk away today without knowing Him personally as your Savior. Not knowing who He is, not knowing that there was a man named Jesus that was claimed to be the Messiah, but knowing that He is your Lord and Savior, that He saved you from your sins. He doesn't promise a perfect life. He doesn't promise everything is going to go smoothly once you trust Him as Savior, but He promises never to leave you, never to forsake you, to be with you through the thick and the thin, through all of life's difficulties, and through great days like today, triumphs as well. We're going to continue in worship. In case you're concerned that it's already 10:30 and we haven't had a sermon, this morning has been a sermon, hasn't it? Have you heard the gospel today? Have you heard how Jesus Christ changes lives? How we're forgiven of our sins? We're going to end our service with communion. I just want to make sure that everyone got a cup and wafer as they came in. If you didn't, raise your hand and one of our deacons will make sure that you are all set. If you want to pre-peel the wafer, you can do that just so that it's a little bit more ready. And when you're done, I don't always remember to say this, but if you would take it with you and drop it in the trash, that way that we're not touching each other's communion cups, I'm thankful that we have that option. So baseball season is in full swing. How's that for a dad joke? It's not even Father's Day. And fans are actually allowed to go to games this year. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Does anybody know what my team is? If you looked really closely, you see I'm wearing my Yankee bow tie from Grace. I grew up in the shadow of New York City and grew up a Yankees fan. Even as we moved to the Midwest, we were in Cubs territory, we were in St. Louis Cardinals territory, we stayed Yankee fans, and I didn't get too much heckling. We did get heckled a little bit going to a White Sox game. They're a tough crowd. And so my family, my two older boys, all decked out in their Yankee gear, you know, were walking into White Sox home as they were playing the Yankees. And we found one or two other Yankee fans in the stadium, and we waved to each other, and we tried not to get in too much trouble. But you're associated with the team. When you put on the hat, when you wear the bow tie, when you put your flag out front, whether it's football or hockey or baseball, it's a way of connecting. And the greatest team of all time, the Yankees, are loved and hated all around the world. So if you go to China, you're going to find kids wearing a Yankees hat because they want to be connected with America and with America's team. Not a plug for the Yankees, it's just true. You can't miss the fact. If you want to go in my office and see the list of world championship trophies, you can see that. But because of their popularity, people want to connect. They want to wear the hat. A similar thing happens in Christianity. People want to be associated with the church, whether it's for social reasons, whether it's for family ties, whether it's for some other connection, they'll come out to church and they'll say, I'm a Christian, and they want to be part of the family. And this is a great family to be part of, in case you're looking for a church. People want to be connected. One of the ways that you proclaim that is baptism, and we got to see that live today, and that was so exciting. The second way that we proclaim that is through communion, as we remember the death, the suffering of our Savior, and his burial and resurrection, the good news that we celebrated on Easter, that he rose again and he offers new life through his life. Jesus suffered in your place. He suffered in my place. His blood was poured out to pay for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the world. And that is a gift waiting for you to accept. The message this morning is that God loves you, but that he is righteous and just, and our sins have to be paid for. Jesus paid the price so that we didn't have to. That we don't have to remain separated from God for all of this life and eternity. God offers that salvation to all who would believe in him. Tim read from Galatians earlier for us, and I just want to remember or remind you of one of the verses, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In taking communion, you proclaim your willingness to suffer with Jesus Christ. Modern Christians, especially in this blessed nation, don't think a whole lot about suffering for our faith. It's fairly easy for us to come to church. It's fairly easy for us to say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Fairly. You may have run into difficulties at work or at school when someone questions you for your faith, questions you for why you act differently, why you don't do certain things, and why you do other things. So I'm not saying that it is without suffering, but it's not like around the world where today Christians are meeting in underground churches where they're hidden away because it's illegal. Our nation seems to be headed in that direction. And I'm not trying to be political today, but some of the things that are in the legislation that are coming up are going to make it illegal for us to follow God's word. And those are days that are coming for us. So as we read 1 Peter, and as we talked about that this past year, the message from God is, prepare for persecution, prepare for suffering. God will be at your side. He's not going to leave you. He will never forsake you. And even if they take your life, you have security in a home in heaven. Are you willing to identify with Jesus Christ? Not just putting on a Yankees hat and saying, I'm a fan, because this year we're doing pretty poorly, aren't we? When I was thinking about this message, we were in last place. Now we're in second to last place. I'm not used to seeing New York down the bottom of that list. It's not the easiest time to still be a Yankee fan. But real fans, as you know, stick with the team. Buffalo Bills fans have stuck with the team through a lot of rough seasons. And you saw all the bandwagoners jumping on this past season as they were starting to do better and better. That happens in every sport. But to be a believer, to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, means I'm willing even to suffer. It's not just a bad season where your team doesn't make it to the playoffs. It's possibly your friends, your family, your job, your reputation. Are you willing to identify with Jesus Christ? Are you willing to suffer as he suffered and was willing to lay down his life for you? Are we willing to go that far? It may be hard to tell from the outside how many of us here this morning are true followers of Jesus Christ. One of the steps was walking into those waters of baptism and telling everybody, I'm in it for the long haul. This is real. I really want to follow him. The other step is taking communion and saying, I want to remember the body of Jesus Christ that was suffered, that was beaten, that was hung on a cross for me. And I want to remember the cup, the blood that he poured out for my sins. I don't deserve a relationship with God. I don't deserve to put on the team hat. But he loves me so much that he would send his own son to die for me. And so as we take communion this morning, we're not saved by eating this wafer, by drinking this cup. That doesn't impart salvation. It's a outward sign. It's a union, a communion with each other, saying, we're in this together. We are fellow brothers and sisters. And to think of Jesus who said, do this in remembrance of me. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you. As we do this, we proclaim our alliance with the worldwide church, with our local church, with believers around the world, and we proclaim the gospel, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Before we take communion each month, the Apostle Paul said, make sure that you are right with God. Make sure you take a moment and pray that you've confessed your sins, that you have a clear heart and a clear conscience before the Lord. So we're going to do that. And one of the things that you can remember is the ACTS acrostic, A-C-T-S, adoration, worshiping God, thanking him for who he is, confession, bringing my sins to him and saying, God, I have sinned against you and against you only. Please forgive me. As Justin said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then the T is thanks, thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for the blessings. And then finally, supplication. What do I need? What things does God need to supply to me? What are the things that I'm needing? My daily bread? Do I have family, loved ones that are in need? Praying for people. So we're going to take a moment before we eat the bread and drink the cup in meditation and prayer on our own. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this glorious morning that we could come together, that we could praise your name in song, that we could lift up our thanks and our adoration and our worship of you. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that we heard of your goodness, of your relentless love, of your forgiveness, and have changed lives. I just pray, Lord, for Callie, for Justin, and for Wiss. As they've taken this step in their Christian faith, I pray that you'd continue to strengthen and encourage them, help them as they desire to live for you and to walk for you. I pray that their families and this church family would be an encouragement to them, and that they would be an encouragement to us as well. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.